There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby!
That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5, and it is Midday Mobile on a Monday. Glad to have y'all along. Another couple hours of live local talk. And if you're new to the mix here, easy to get in touch with the show. We offer you several ways, actually even more than several ways, but let's start several ways. Phone number, 343-0106. 343-0106 gets you through to all the shows. We have live shows every day of the week, even on the weekends around here. 343-0106 also for the text line gets you through there. And if you want to use the FM Talk 106.5 app, which is pretty cool, check it out if you haven't downloaded it yet. It's free. It's waiting for you over at the App Store for iOS users, Google Play for hip Android users like myself. Either place, just look for FM TALK 1065. No point between the 6 and 5, just FM Talk 1065. And you'll see our logo there. That's our app. Download it. And of course, you can use it to stream the station and tons of other things. Traffic maps. I was using those the other day as I was coming back from the Wharf Boat and Yacht Show. And I, of course, the app showed me there was no good way. I sat on the causeway for 45 minutes instead of sitting on the bayway. But either way, you can use a traffic map on there, weather information, show schedules, all that good stuff. But there on the front page, you'll see a microphone icon. You can press that, lets you record a message, emails it to the show, and I can play it back here as well. So those are several, and then there are other ways to get in touch with us. We can talk, if so needed, about those in just a little bit. Also, Nappies voting, I think it's in the last day or two of the qualifying. We appreciate y'all's votes over at votenappies.com. For this radio station, for talk show host and morning shows and favorite station. Also this year, a lifestyle radio segment or lifestyle radio show is a category, which was custom made for, I agree, Mike Ward and Mike Ward's going to hear this and get mad. He and I host FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. But also, I just think the show I'm the biggest fan of on this radio station is Bill Finch's Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. So if you're on the media section and putting nominations in there, put my man Bill in the lifestyle section. And also, my friend, this is the only ones I'll tell you about. John Young, my buddy Sergeant John Young from the Mobile Police Department for favorite police officer, and I would say best Mobilian. You put them in there as well. VoteNappies.com. Like I said, it's the last day or two of the nominating process, so I appreciate those votes in there as well. Also, as we get started, before we even get to Putin, I heard the USA Radio Network there update the Tyson-Jake Paul fight story. I saw that hype video. Like they said it's 14 seconds or so. I saw the hype video over the weekend. I mean, it was just a short clip, but I still think age, I'm a Tyson fan, it shows by my age, I'm in that Tyson generation, but Jake Paul much younger, I don't know, but watching Tyson punch, and the guy who has to be the punching dummy for Tyson, I didn't envy him, he still looks like he still's got the speed and the power in those punches, so you can go, we may put that up for you to check out. I think that thing's coming up in June. Might be a fight I actually watch. All right, so I said to Jeff at the end of his show, before I even got to the Putin story, I would say thank God for the biggest story we have out there. I would say, and the point is that I think all TV stations, somebody correct me, maybe one didn't jump on it, but I think all TV stations covered this, and then because they were buffooning themselves, I jumped on it as well. This from our news partners at WKRG said, rumors about a tiger roaming at Langham Municipal Park have been greatly exaggerated. Okay. In other words, it's not true. Like, most of us figured out right away. But the story goes on to say, Facebook post that surfaced this week said people should be on the lookout for a tiger at Municipal Park. And then it goes through and it talks about the post and says how many times it was shared and comments and, you know, commenter on the street or whatever clips are in there. It says this, though. It goes on. This is on down in the story. It said, in fact, News 5 heard a caller report the incident on a police scanner we have in the newsroom. So you get in a TV newsroom, you'll hear it sometimes when we get our news updates. You can hear that scanner going off in the background when they're doing the news update. So these things are going on. You know, they're running in a newsroom and you're listening for a story to send your, you know, whatever kid reporter out to go cover, right? Said, so in fact, News 5 heard a caller report the incident on a police scanner we have in the newsroom, and we sent a crew to Municipal Park to check that out. Our crew spotted no tiger, so we contacted the Mobile Police Department to ask about the report. I guess they're doing the due diligence of a journalist. That's why I went into editorializing instead. A Mobile Police Department spokesperson said this photo was circulating on Facebook over the last week. From all accounts, this appears to be a fake. I'll be darned. Same photo and post was also shared in other cities around the country. In fact, the post alleging the tiger's presence in Municipal Park uses the same photo shared in numerous posts about tigers spotted in Oklahoma, Michigan, Florida, Texas, and South Carolina. I would say Oklahoma, you got Tiger King, though. But said viral photos have been shared on numerous news platforms, formerly known as X, Twitter, and Reddit. It goes on to say the start of this. So this is old stuff. This is what, not only are you being stupid, you're being stupid about old stuff when you were said to be all these links last week, like, what about this tiger there? So where did the rumor begin? The tiger pictures originally went viral in May of 2019. Y'all, this is so 2019. When a tiger was allegedly spotted on the shores of the Rio Grande, the rumor was ultimately debunked. Still, the Gulf Coast shared the picture like wildfire on social media. What does that say? As we discuss the strength of social media, what was the stat the other day that for people under 30, some very high number of people under 30 get their news from TikTok? So it just once again, no tiger. I know that you shouldn't have. I shouldn't have to tell you this. I don't think I'm telling you specifically, but there was a news story to support a news story to support a news story that there is not a tiger at Langham Park. So there we go. All right. With that, we can move on into a new week of other news out there. The Putin thing. I mentioned this to Dalton, and this is something we can have as a side discussion here on the text line at 343-0106. So the came out, here it is. I think 88%. Okay. This from CNBC said Russian President Vladimir Putin was upbeat. He was upbeat, y'all, after winning a fifth term in power in Russia's presidential election over the weekend. He chose to make the moment to make his first public remarks about the death of his political nemesis, Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny, mentioning his name for the first time in years. Putin won Russia's presidential election with a landslide, y'all. This is like Reagan, right? Landslide, 87, Reagan Mondale, 87% of votes. Exit polls suggested late Sunday, with votes still being declared as of this morning, both in Russia and from polls of Russians abroad, which is a bunch of them, I would imagine, in conscription age. Any of them that could be sent to the front in Ukraine might be abroad now. From Russia. So the head of Russia's electoral authority stated today the voter turnout was a record-breaking, how about this, 77%. Now, in a country where the fix is in, right, where you know what's going to happen, according to Russian authorities, turnout was 77% in the vote there in Russia. What were we, can we pull Mobile County in the primary? I think I was right when I said 18%. 18%. Here in the good old United States of America, in Mobile County, or 18%. In Russia, where there's really not much at question, at least according to Russian authorities, the turnout was 77%, which was up from 67.7% in 2018. Okay, I think Putin has to win one of these nail-biter close elections, and he'll end up at the head of Russia even longer than Stalin, I think. I think he's got one more to win, and then he sets a record. He'll have three decades being in charge in Russia. Okay. It goes on, the story said, the highly stage-managed election, you don't say, each of Putin's three opponents on the ballot who belong to Russia's systemic opposition garnered around 3 to 4% of the vote. So this is what gets me here, is that the 87%, like, you understand that they controlled the election. Why wasn't it, somebody probably would say, some new lackey in the Putin administration would come in and say, we need to make it 100%, right? That Putin wins with 100%. Then one of the old sages like, you can't do that. That's not believable. This is the nuance of it that I find so entertaining, is that they had to get a number that they decided was going to be what Putin won with. That wasn't 100%. Because you need to, I mean, to tell the story, you need to have a little, oh, I'm not saying this, I'm only saying this, right? In a well-crafted lie, even though it's not well-crafted. Just like when Prigozhin, you know, his plane mysteriously crashes. They come out and say, you know, air traffic is dangerous. Airplanes are. So they decided 87%. So there had to be some decision-making inside the Putin group to say, it's not going to be 100%. And we can't make it like 51 because we want it to be a mandate for the shirtless Putin. So what do we, so we need to make it, so they had to arrive. That's what fascinates me, is why 87%? Were there some arguing for 74%, some arguing for 93, and they come up with 87%? That part of it, I would love to be a fly on the wall to hear them going, no, we can't do 100, that's too much. 51's not enough. 70, nah, 70, 87% of the people. So you can have a little bit of like, oh, you know, he had some opposition out there, but, you know, Putin's the man, and he really is doing for the people, so we'll give him 87%. That part of it fascinates me. Also, it says in the story, so, that he talks about Navalny. It said, addressing his supporters at the press and the press as his campaign headquarters. I love the fact that Putin has campaign headquarters, too. Like a big ball and, you know, oh, we're here. Oh, what a great night. Thank you to all the people that went door to door for me and helped me. The grassroots movement said at the campaign headquarters last night, Putin was relaxed and upbeat, pledging to defend and strengthen Russia. He also used the moment to make his first public comments on Navalny's death and mentioning his most vocal critic's name for the first time in public in years, which, by the way, I would suggest you go watch the Navalny documentary. It's pretty darn good. I think I saw it on Netflix. When asked by NBC's Keir Simmons about the death, Putin responded by calling his death a sad event, end quote, and claiming he had been prepared to involve Navalny in a prisoner swap with the West. Now, remember, we talked about that before. That, I think, is interesting, where people say, well, he killed Navalny, so he wouldn't have to trade him. Well, I mean, Putin be Putinin, right? I mean, he could just say, no, we're not going to trade him. So that one, I think, is a little bit of a, would say, dead end, but that's not a good. But the other part of these stories come out, and I heard a little bit of mention this morning on it, that folks are like, well, Navalny was not pro-Ukraine and believed in the fight. This idea, and I wrote these notes to myself last night, this idea that people are shocked that Navalny was nationalistic. Navalny's thing was on corruption in Russia, right? Corruption of the Putin administration, the oligarchs, et al. The fact that he was, like, pro-Russia, people are, like, surprised about that. I think people, maybe it's too many Disney movies or something that you want everybody to be two-dimensional. Like, it has to be this simplistic two-dimensional. I don't know, but it was of interest to me that, you know, number one, 87%, number two, that they come out and people are like, well, you know, Navalny, he thought Crimea should stay with Russia. Of course he did. He's a Russian guy. He was just suggesting that maybe they got drained the Kremlin or something like that, right? What percentage would you give him? I mean, they give him 87%, but if you were running things in Putin Town there, would you have gone higher with his winning percentage or lower? Where do you think the believability factor kicks? And do any Russian people believe that anyway? All right, text line 343-0106. All right, coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
1224 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. A lot of great texts coming in here. Thank you, Leanna said. You know, just wondering the nuance of them picking 87% of the vote for Putin to win with. Why, you know, like, because they're just pulling it out of the air, pulling it out of their nesting doll. Why 87%? You know, why is it not 100? Okay, well, that's not believable. Okay, 67? No, that's not the right number. Leanna said 87. This is a reach, and I appreciate it, though. Cricket in Australia, which I don't know how you score. I don't know anything about cricket. So cricket in Australia holds 87 as a superstitiously unlucky score and referred to as the devil's number. Originates from the fact that 87 is 13 runs short of a century. All right, so there you go. Maybe that's why they did. I don't know. It's just, it amuses me when people pick. I like arbitrary things and to wonder about arbitrary things. It's like the speed in the parking garage at the convention center is 6 miles an hour. Have you ever noticed that when you pull it in, like for the boat show down there? I think people say it stands out because it's different, so people pay more attention because it's, you know, I don't, it's interesting. All right, Irish Indian, did the scanner mention the Crichton leprechaun? I don't know if they had the Crichton leprechaun on the scanner for them to go check out like they did the tiger, but there, you know, something came in back in, was that 2006 that started the old, oh, and there's this good story. I know Dana Dalton mentioned it this morning. I think it's Kyle Hamrick's story over at Lanyap, if we get a chance to get to it, where they got some reaction from the folks at the Leprechaun Museum in Ireland about the story. So I thought that was of note. Hopefully we'll get time to get to that. IT Jesus said, I saw a leprechaun this weekend. Good. Good for you. Did you get the gold? I tried to get the gold, and I went, I am so, like I've told y'all before on this gambling debate, and we're about to talk about this with Chip Brown. I'm like, just don't know much about it. I'm just not a big gambler. But I did go and get some lottery tickets this weekend over in Mississippi. And I was buying because I thought I was going to buy them for, because I went over before I went to Mason Hills Taste of the Farm event, which, by the way, what a turnout for that. And good to see and meet so many of y'all out there to go see. I guess we got there 11 o'clock or so, a little after 11. And just a huge turnout out there in Grand Bay. But we made a loop and bought some lotto tickets as well. And I thought there was going to be for the Saturday. And whatever I bought is like Tuesday night. I don't know. I mean, that's how good I am with gambling stuff. I didn't know what I was buying. All right. Natalie says, good for Putin win. I'll keep the largest country with the largest nuclear arsenal stable. Russia under Putin is no way a threat to us. You can hate him, but the facts matter. Natalie speaks some truth there. We've talked about that before, that who do you want in control of the nuclear arsenal? But remember, Natalie, too, we had that story that I haven't heard much more about since we talked about it, 2 weeks ago, where undercover DEA agent in Thailand ends up buying weapons-grade plutonium, uranium and plutonium, from a Japanese Yakuza gang member to just sell it. Hey, here's some weapons-grade plutonium for whoever wants to buy it. Jason, that's a solid question. Jason says, wonder how many people had their Putin yard signs out. I wonder, can somebody show, do people put political yard signs out in Russia? Jay Bird said, I'm Mother Russia, plane kills you. Yeah, I don't know. And then Sean asked this question, which I figured was coming. It was surprising it took that long. Sean says, how are their selections any different than ours? They rig them to get the desired result, buying from the public with the illusion they're taking part in the process. Okay, so Sean, if you're somebody who believes that the election system here in the United States is a farce, but they don't do it as much, right? They would say it's 52-48, that kind of stuff. Why do you go, so help me, Sean, all that, I mean, seriously, if we're going to, 87%, wouldn't you make it tighter to make it seem like, but you need to have it high enough that they would say Putin has a mandate, right? I guess I'm just into the nuance of why they picked that number versus, you know, another percentage. The 87% and the turnout. Turnout is great. We can't get people to turn out in elections around here, but in Russia, what they say was up to 77% turnout. And everybody else, I guess, was deployed to to Ukraine. All right. Also coming up, we could talk about, I've got the audio here for the Trump bloodbath story. I, you know, over the weekend, it was really interesting because I was with people who don't have the way social media, and I'm talking about X and Twitter here, serves you stories is, it's a, I mean, it uses the algorithm, the things you look at, and it serves you up, you know, the things they think you want to see. Of course, me being a difficult person, I go follow things that are very contrary to my politics to see what other people are saying, because I think iron sharpens iron. But to see the outrage of the Trump bloodbath thing and the clip that was put up and watch people's reaction as they said, look at this, Sean, what, like I gotta, like my job is to defend Trump, you know, everywhere. Which, I mean, those of you that have listened for a long time, some people think I don't, you know, well, you don't do enough for Trump. Well, I do what I think is right. I do what, you know, if he's wrong, I say he's wrong. So I get this, like, I have to, like, defend Trump. So I said, well, did we listen to the whole clip? So we go back and listen to the whole clip. If people would do that, and not even the whole clip, but just a little expanded in context, Trump does this to himself. He does things that give people an easy headline, but he was not talking about a bloodbath, like if he's not elected. It was a business bloodbath. But we can get into that. Although liberal people I was around said, well, that's a dog whistle. The people that need to know that that's what he means and go from there. But we'll get to that. Coming up, we'll talk about what's going on at home here in Alabama. Session gets back in tomorrow in Montgomery. Representative Chip Brown joins us next.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you all along on this Monday. Wait, maybe I'll ask this question Jason had asked on the text line to our next guest, District 105 Representative Chip Brown, doing his work in Montgomery, but has spent a lot of time, you know, obviously outside this country with our military, and a student and a opinion on realpolitik out there. Chip, Jason, because I was talking about the 87% that Putin won with, you know, they said he won right. With 87. So when they're in the room there, trying to figure out what they're going to let Putin win with, you know, somebody would say, well, 100%. They're like, no, you can't do 100%. I've got to make it believable. 51%? No, he needs a mandate. Is it 60? When they arrive at 87%, I don't know. I'm obsessing with the fact that they pick a number to say that this is enough to leave, like, oh, it was a challenge, but, you know, 87%. So I was obsessing on that. And then Jason texted in. He said, I wonder how many people had Putin yard signs in Russia. That's the thing. Do people have political yard signs in Russia like we do in the United States?
No, I don't believe so. Although, funny. I will tell you what, I was actually in Ireland years ago when they were voting to go into the EU. And, of course, I think they made a mistake and gave up their sovereignty and should have stayed out of the EU, just been a trading partner. But I don't think it's been a good deal for the Irish. If you go back and look at economically, they were the Celtic Tiger.
Yep,
and then
absolutely.
What are they now? Yeah, they had yard signs. Well, they had yard signs, and they had signs all over telephone poles and stuff all over.
Well, of course, that's that. I mean, if you haven't noticed, the Irish, we have things to say. Like,
that's right.
Commentary on everything.
That's right. Yeah, you know that 87%. It's just that is an odd figure, but I would say I don't know how they came about that. Well, I might go ask the Democrat Party and the Biden team in Michigan and Wisconsin and Arizona and even Georgia to how they came up with the percentage when they stopped counting late at night on election night in 2020. What percentage did they decide to come up with?
If you're gonna pull something off, whether you're, you know, wherever you are, because somebody said the same thing that they do this here in the United States. Okay, if I would just for the exercise of discussing that, I don't know. I just obsess on the fact you pick a number like, okay, not too much, not too little, you know.
Well, you know, the odd thing about that, I was actually reading an article where from a protest, and I've never really understood this, of course, but, you know, that was what they were doing over there. People were showing up to the polls, standing in line, but were refusing to vote.
Right.
As a protest measure. And I guess, really, if your main opponents are not on the ballot, that's the only, you know, protest that you have. But, you know, there's a lot of parallels if you go back and you look at what they've done in Russia with political opponents to what we're doing currently in the U.S. I mean, in the name of protecting democracy, we're willing to, you know, create sham charges on political opponents that we don't want on the ballot, on the presidential ballot, or, you know, bring up court cases that there are no victims to try to keep them off the ballot. And so
now I'll tell you what, when they put Trump in a Arctic Circle penal colony that we have in Alaska somewhere, then I'll get
and we might have one. Heck, who knows?
If you be the polar wolf West Side version of it. Let's talk about some Montgomery as y'all get back into session tomorrow. And you came on with us early on after the House passed the gambling bill through the House very quickly. It came out. We talked about it, what was in it, what wasn't in it. Then, as you said then, well, it's got to go to the Senate. So the Senate gets their hands on it. And I had, watched this go through the process. I guess it was a week or two ago that I, the Senate pushed it through. It was Senator Albritton came on the show to talk about the changes in there. And I said, whoa, this is not just somewhat different than the House bill. It's really different than the House bill. Now it's back in y'all's hands. What are you thinking about its chances as edited by the Senate?
Well, I don't see us concurring and agreeing to the changes that they made. I mean, I think the House bill was pretty good. I mean, it was allowed competition and it was realistic, and I think it was realistic too on the sports gaming side. You know, I mean,
yeah, that's not even in the Senate bill, right? That's eliminated. There's no sports and there's no online betting in the Senate bill.
No, totally not in there at all. But you know, the thing on that, Sean, what's interesting to me is, and they probably don't know this, but the Department of the Interior issued a ruling, maybe a few weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, a month ago, that they oversee gaming on Indian land, on tribal land. So, like in Alabama, we don't oversee the casinos at Quartz Creek that they have.
PCI.
Right, PCI. So, we don't get a dime off of that. That's the other thing, too. You know, we don't, unless they enter into a compact with the governor, and even then, it's going to be in the form of fees. You can't tax a sovereign nation. You can't, as the United States, or as the state of Alabama, we cannot go on to tribal land and tax them. However, we can charge them fees if they enter into a compact and agreement with the state of Alabama. But the Bureau of Indian Affairs, they issued a ruling a few weeks ago that tribes could participate in online gaming, in sports betting, that sort of thing. So you're setting up a scenario where, okay, we don't have you don't have sports betting, say, on your phone, but the reality is they would be able to do it. So they would end up with an unintended monopoly over that. And the reality is, I like to deal in realism, and the reality is people in Alabama do sports betting every single day.
Mm-hmm.
They go through VPNs. They, use illegal accounts offshore, go through Panama. I mean, there's a whole host of things. And that's already going on. So I think this notion that somehow we're not going to include that in the legislation because if we do, it'll just go away and people won't do it, I think it's unfortunate. I think it's just not living in the real world. It's naive.
Hey, let's return to that deal. And I've talked about this several times, but I think it's worth revisiting this idea of a compact. So sovereign lands, here's PCI operating their facilities on their land, sovereign land. But they are hamstrung by what happens in the state that sovereign land lives in, exists within.
Right.
Because the state goes what they're allowed to do on that sovereign land. So it's not completely sovereign. So the compact would be trading the state of Alabama doing these things that would let these other versions of gambling go on inside the sovereign land in exchange. Like right now, they don't have to do anything. Like you said, you can't tax them, but a compact would be like, okay, if y'all will change the state law so that can trigger this, this, and this inside sovereign land, then we'll kick you back this much money. I mean, I kind of put it in Sullivanese, but that's what it seems like to me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Okay. So, but Bureau of Indian Affairs is saying they're not having any more liberty, right? They can't do, I mean, they can do online, but they can't do casino. I mean, what is it? I mean, there's a trade here. Well, there's a trade between PCI and the state, right? That's what a compact is. It's a let's strike a deal.
Correct. And we, you know, one of the arguments that I hear people make, and I ask, well, that's not really true, is that, you know, if you vote for the lottery, we'll have class three gaming in Alabama. And class three gaming is full blown table games, you know, full just regular casino. Go to Biloxi, that's class three gaming. But we already have that. And we already have it because in the 1970s, we approved Mobile Greyhound Track, Birmingham Race Course, Victory Land. All of these were approved through amendments in the 1970s. And so we already have that, but there's a provision in federal law and through the Bureau of Indian Affairs that says that they can't go beyond what they cannot have class three gaming unless they have a compact.
Mm-hmm.
So technically they could do a compact today and have table games. If you go up there, it's bingo machines. You know, it's a polluted formula. You know, it's just like if you go to Victory Land or you go to Birmingham Race Course, those are not slot machines. Those are paramutual machines based upon historic
horse racing.
Historic horse racing.
It's so silly.
It's such a nuance in the law. It is silly.
I mean, it's like either you're going to have a slot machine. Right. Either it's the market finds a way. You say, well, you know, you can't have these slot machines. Well, we're not really doing that. We're playing old horse races. I mean, it's a slot machine. Come on. So either do it or don't.
That's right. So, and that's the thing. Like, let the people vote, man. Just let them decide. Throw it all out there. Let the people vote. I mean, we haven't had a vote since 1999, and then it was just on bingo. I mean, not bingo, but on the lottery. But just let people vote. That's it. Put it out there. Let the people vote. I don't understand this. Like, the Senate bill, you know, stripped all that out, and the current places, which Mobile would not get a fair shake in that, because you end up there's really nothing going on at Mobile Greyhound Track right now, but it would allow paramutual and it would allow bingo machines, well, or historic horse racing machines. Now, let me ask you a question, Sean. If you were inclined to go to a casino, you wanted to bet on something, are you going to drive to Mobile Greyhound Track and play a historic horse racing machine, or are you going to go to Biloxi and go to a place that actually can offer a show, a restaurant, office?
Yeah, you go 35 minutes more or whatever and go on to Biloxi. Go another 35 minutes west.
It's just a setting everything up for failure. And it's just, to me, it's just not a good piece of legislation.
Okay. So
I think we don't concur. That's what I want to do, is not concur. Let's let, you know, powers that be go to conference and try to work something out and see what we come up with. You know, it can't hurt.
Well, because I would imagine with the changes, number one, I mean, you as a Republican talking about it, but the Democrat support that's always necessary to get these things through, that's going to go away, I would imagine, with this what's coming out of the Senate. So the Democrats in the House have voted for it. They're not on board, I can't imagine.
Well, I would think not. I haven't had conversations with them, but I would think that they wouldn't be. I don't think you have the votes in the House to pass what the Senate sent back. I mean, there's no reason to send back what they sent back. I mean,
killing it. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like in the past, when Del Marsh a couple of years ago brought this thing out of the Senate, it goes and dies in the House. They rah 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 in the Senate, goes and dies in the House. Here, rah 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 comes out of the House and it goes to the Senate and dies. I would think with the changes, I mean it's not going any further with those changes.
Even if you look at where they, you know, put they did it in a special election in September versus, which is going to cost the state at least $5 million to do a special election with that's the only thing on the ballot. You only have special elections, in my opinion, if you want to kill something. So I think that's the intent, is to not pass anything, just keep the status quo. Because if you do it in the general election, you know, I've heard the argument, well, if you do it in the general election, then it's just going to drive Democrat turnout, particularly in the second congressional district. I disagree with that, because if you look at the turnout in the primary, the Republican turnout in the primary in the second congressional district was equal to the Democrat turnout in the primary in the second congressional district. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have Donald Trump on the ballot. And Donald Trump is a performer turnout wise. And I think we have a very good shot of winning the second congressional district just based on what the turnout is going to be, regardless of if you have gaming on the general election ballot or not. And so I disagree with that argument. I think that that's just an effort to try to not let the people have their say and not let people vote. At the end of the day, that's what I support. And that's what the majority of people in the House support, because we heard from constituents that want the opportunity. I know people, John, that are 100% opposed to any form of gaming, but they want to be able to go to the polls and vote no. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to give them the best piece of legislation that we can, put that out there. And the people that want to vote yes, go vote yes. The people that want to vote no, vote no. But I think we've got to listen to the people. And the people want the opportunity to vote.
All right. But the chances are right now, as it looks, they don't look good for being able to reconcile between the Senate and the House.
Well, I don't say that because, you know, you know how Montgomery is. Montgomery is, everything is, there's always a couple different sides. And when, what I mean by that is, I think that there is an opportunity for us to non-concur, which means we don't agree to the changes. And then you go to conference and we send our representatives and they send their representatives. And I think we have an opportunity, possibly, depending on who's on the conference on the Senate side, to come up with some legislation that might be something that is acceptable to both sides. So we'll see. I don't know what that would be, but we will see.
All right. Representative, we appreciate it. We'll get you back on the show soon to talk more about it. And y'all get started tomorrow. I guess y'all are halfway through the actual legislative days.
We are. We're at the midway point. And this week's a big week. I've got my seafood labeling bill is in Senate committee on Wednesday, which would require people to restaurants to tell you what where their seafood comes from. That's in the Senate, past the House. It's in the Senate committee, and so we'll see how that goes. And I have a bill in the House, HB 165, that's in the Judiciary Committee on Wednesday that will require parents to give consent to any type of vaccination of their children. So it's a big week.
It is a big week, and appreciate you checking in before you get back up to Montgomery, and we'll watch it. All right, thank you, Representative.
Sounds good. Thanks, John.
All right, there he goes, Chip Brown, and we're coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
12:55, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Monday, a good day to get things set for the week, appointments set for the week. Got that junk you've been looking at, walking around. You're going to get around to it. Well, get around to it now. With, I guess, would Dr. Bill say tomorrow officially spring? Well, at least on the calendar. It's been spring here for a while. Spring cleaning easier when you get rid of the junk with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. That's my buddy Trey. Now, you see his trucks in Mobile and Baldwin County. They're going to somebody's house or their business or their storage unit, getting rid of junk, getting rid of something that's on somebody's mind, right? Whether it's stuff you have to walk around the house, or a storage unit you pay on every month that you don't need the junk in there, or even big stuff. And the number of things that they get weekly out of backyards, like trampolines and above-ground pools and swing sets and storage buildings, they can handle that stuff as well. So you get big stuff, lots of small stuff, any combination therein. You got junk, you want it gone, you need 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Easy to make that appointment, too, here on a Monday. Like, just take a little time today and call 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Their name is the number. Or go online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Either way, they're going to find the day that works for you, the window of time that works for you, and they set an appointment. You're there. They show up. You point at the junk you want gone. They quote you a price right there on the spot. And if you say yes, they get to work right then and get it done. I've used them personally and with this radio station. So many of us here have. And if you go to Google reviews, you'll see how many of your neighbors and friends out there are doing the same thing. Check them out, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or just pick up the phone and call them at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. The coming up here in just a few minutes, Erica Thomas from 1819 News joins me. I know she's normally on Wednesdays, but Wednesday we're out at the Battleship with Scuttlebutt in the 1 o'clock hour, so we're shifting the schedule a little bit here. Also next hour, we can talk more about the Crichton Leprechaun and this story that was from Scott Johnson over at Lanyap, where they talked to the folks at the Leprechaun Museum about the significance of the Crichton Leprechaun. I think that was some valuable news. Oh, also, I just heard the update there, the suspicious fire at the tax preparer. I said, this is, I don't know, it's tax time, right? They said, does this, I don't, it says a person who was connected with the business said she was told somebody broke through the front window of the tax preparer and lit documents on fire in the back of the office. Now, can we get a, can you get an extension for that? I'm just asking for a friend. Can you get an extension if somebody breaks in and just burns your stuff and nobody else's? Said investigators from Mobile Fire Rescue trying to figure out what started a blaze at a local business before dawn this morning. Mobile Police and Fire Rescue were called for a commercial building fire on South Sage about 3 this morning. They quickly put out a fire at Qualified Trained Tax Consultants. A fire official on the scene would only say the fire appeared suspicious, but didn't want to comment further. I lump this story in with deciding that Putin wins with 87% of the vote. I'm just group those together a little bit. All right, coming back. Hour number 2 of Midday Mobile next.